BBC Sussex with Gavin Ashenden.
We're going to be talking to the vicar of Henfield in a moment, Alistair Cutting, about clicking access to the internet. Not everyone has access to the internet, or not everyone uses it, and there's a whole world of connections and spirituality and help available to us if we want to use it. And Alistair's going to be talking about that, and then bringing us our weekly miracle, a sermonizer who puts it into 60 seconds. We'll time him. I dare say he'll be one of those who comes in at 59 and a half. There was someone once, we left it just before the news, and about a minute and a half before the news, and it turned out his was 3 minutes long. And I did want to say, you know, which bit of 60 seconds haven't we made clear? But anyway, if Alistair is those 6 seconds, I shall tease him mercilessly, as he teases me about other things. Our priest in residence is Alistair Cutting. Alistair, good morning.
Good morning, Gavin.
I found the right button. Hooray! It's so important to begin with the right button. Well, how long does it take to get from Henfield to middle of Brighton?
Oh, about 20 minutes if you're driving according to the speed limits and all the rest of it.
As all vicars always do. Now, you're a famous internet vicar. In fact, I mean, you're well ahead of everybody, even me, in terms of using it. There are going to be some people out there who, and always not elderly, who find the internet threatening or annoying or simply just because everyone else is using it won't do it. What are the reasons why we might want to get online?
For me, it's all about connections and connecting up to people. About 10 years ago, we were on a trip to New Zealand and we were going to be away for about 3 months. Phone calls abroad were still quite expensive at that stage, and so my mother-in-law decided she was going to have to use computers to actually start off with email, first of all, because that was going to be the easiest way that she was going to be able to stay in touch with us in a sort of direct way, cheap and all the rest of it. And that was the whole purpose of her getting on in the first place. And then I sort of moved on from that, using email for...
To save money?
Partly to save money. No, it's more the letters just took too long to wait for a letter to go all the way to New Zealand and come back again.
Don't underestimate the lure of saving money to our listeners. Not enough money, not enough time for both these things.
That's right. So there's immediate connection. You could send an email and have a reply back within 5 minutes, which is not quite the same as a phone call, but not bad.
And presumably, are you one of the people who's started to Skype? I know this. There's a student I talked about 12 years ago, and she's on Facebook. We'll come to Facebook in a minute. And she said she's single, and the love of her life is a rabbit, Mr. Hefner. Yes. She's shared her life with her rabbit. I don't think it's for any of us to criticise. We just note. I don't think she listens to my programme either, though some people do across the states.
She'll hear
course.
Now.
And she's going to hold a wake for her rabbit, and those of us who love her and have always admired Mr. Hefner are going to join in the wake on Skype.
Right.
So that with Skype, as you know, on the computer screen, we will a camera will open into the room where these people are having their celebration, and one can join in. This strikes me as being a most wonderful thing to be able to do.
Yes, and actually, Skype can actually work in three different ways. You can work with seeing what's going on if you've got a little camera on your computer and they've got on theirs. You can see what's going on, or if you haven't got that, if you've only got a little microphone, and most computers have, then you can at least hear what's going on. Or if you can't even do that with Skype, you can live chat to somebody, and almost like text messaging backwards and forwards live.
By chat, you mean little lines of
typing,
text?
Typing a little bit of text, a sentence.
We call chat.
Chat.
So, let's go on to Facebook and Twitter, because, again, people pour scorn on these things. I poured scorn on Facebook, and then I came to love it. Have you come to love it?
I'm concerned about it sometimes, because there are some concerns about the way that Facebook actually uses your material and the safety on your stuff. They said a while ago you could put pictures up there, so people put pictures up there, and then all of a sudden they said, actually, now they're ours, and they jolly well weren't. And so there have been one or two things like that. But what it has been brilliant at is linking people up, and I just love the way that happens. I've got a few friends on Facebook that are all over the world, and just hearing what's going on and occasionally I put on some on mine. I put on mine this morning. I've come to see Gavin here in the BBC Radio Brighton. And there'll be bits and pieces that are coming up on there, and people respond to that sort of thing. And you get the messages backwards and forwards. So people that I wouldn't otherwise be able to be in touch with, because they're in Australia, because they're in New Zealand, because they're in America, wherever they are, it actually keeps it sort of live like that. And so that side of it, I think, is terrific.
One develops a new community, not a new community, one develops a refreshed community of friends. My experience with friends has been that one didn't really make connections with them until the awful Christmas letter or Christmas card or birthday card went on. And then as time went by, the connections grew thinner and thinner. And suddenly, with Facebook, the connections can grow thicker and thicker.
Yes, reconnecting again as well. Friends Reunited is another one of those sites that was going back to school days and picking up all the people from your school, for example, and trying to make links there. And I think that can be really quite a helpful thing to do.
Now, Facebook, if you use it properly, and you can use it properly, can't you? You can set privacy levels so nobody you haven't invited can see your material.
Yep.
What about Twitter?
Twitter, well, blogging. Do you know what blogging is? Because we ought to do blogs before we come to Twitter, now, because Twitter's a shortened version of blogging, really.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, effectively, yes.
Oh, of course it is. Right,
blogs,
okay, blogging.
Blogs, that's short for web log.
Right.
Now, and it's actually a diary online, really.
You're a famous web blogger yourself.
Well, when I joined the General Synod 5 years ago, I was elected 5 years ago. And
now,
the
General Synod is not a kind of Anglican version of General Custer. It's our parliament, isn't it?
Yes, they don't like us to call it the parliament, but it's our senior sort of governing body, I suppose,
if
you like.
Two Greek words, sin and hodos, and sin is with and hodos is...
Walking together, isn't
that's
it?
That's it, walking together.
Walking
that's
together.
Right.
And I like the idea of walking together. I'm not sure the General Synod always quite gives that impression once it's going.
They tend to throw custard pies at each other more than...
Well, I try not to report on that, but I started to use a blog to try and report back what was going on. And when I first started it, the Church of England officials were extremely dubious about this cantankerous priest who might write awful things. And it's not actually been like that. I tried to take a slightly offbeat look at what's going on at Synod, because there's lots of people looking at all the serious stuff. Not that I don't look at the serious stuff, but actually just to come at a slightly different angle. And so putting up pages of information about that, that's part of what web blogging is doing. And I've been doing that for the last 5 years. Twitter is like a sort of a text message length version of that. And it's just a quick thing. When you send a text message to somebody, it goes from me to you and nobody else can see it. But occasionally you want to sort of do one of those things and let everybody know. And so that's what Twitter does. It just sort of goes out into the ether like that. And all your followers who are interested in you can actually see what you actually put. And then the little discussion can flow from that.
I've been always quite surprised. Suddenly on my computer comes a notice that for example, USPG want to follow my Twitter. Well, there's not much to follow because I don't twit. But I've still not got my head round the purpose of it. The Facebook thing is about, I feel it's part of my saying to my friends, this is exciting, interesting, stimulating, funny, serious, something concrete that flows between us. To twit seems to me to be just kind of to throw egocentric ephemera into the atmosphere to see who picks it up.
It can be. It can be about people's what I had for breakfast and all the rest of it.
Stephen Fry tells us when he goes to the toilet on his Twitter thing, doesn't
that's
he?
That's really all too much information, isn't it? Mrs. Stephen Fry, though.
Who is Mrs. Stephen Fry?
Mrs. Stephen Fry. Well, we're not actually quite sure, but she's just published a book. We think it's a fictitious person who's actually sort of blogging, as it were, as Stephen's wife. And there's quite a...
But Stephen Fry, not being heterosexual, wouldn't have one of those.
Or indeed the 7 or is it 8 children that they have. Mrs. Stephen Fry writes some absolute nonsense. We went to a fantasy-themed curry house, says Mrs. Stephen Fry recently. We had the C.S. Lewis set meal. It's like the regular set meal, only Narnia.
Oh, bad.
We're really hoping the baby will start walking today, because if not, we'll have to go back to Tesco's to get it, says Mrs. Stephen Fry.
So you don't have to follow this person.
No. Or the Queen? Did you know the Queen was on Twitter? I'm not sure this is the real Queen. This is Queen underscore UK. But you know that the Queen went to launch the ship. So
I'm going to see her next week. I shall ask her.
Ask her if this is her own Twitter
feed.
I'm sure it is. One has arrived in Southampton for ship naming. Tempted to change the name at the last minute to Titanic 2. On the way back. Polished off an entire tube of Pringles in the Bentley on the way back from Southampton. Once one pops, one can't stop.
So these are presumably... This is humour for those who like comedians to be able to tease them with personas. What about more serious Twitter?
Well, a lot of people actually use it for linking in to their blogging as well. So actually, you could actually link it into your Facebook thing. So when you put things up on Facebook, it go out on Twitter as well. And so it's actually sending it off in a different direction, and more people can then be drawn back to your Facebook page as well, if that's what you're trying to do. Another person that writes an awful lot.
I don't want them drawn back unless they're my friends. There's this awful problem that friendship has suddenly got a new definition. I mean, friendship used to be difficult to define as it was, two people offering some degree of trust through knowledge and affection. Now there's this new concept of Facebook friendship, which is I want to be involved in your network communication thingy, and you may not even know them.
There's a place for both, though, isn't there, Gavin? Because you've got a personal Facebook page, but you've also got one for the studio, haven't you? For the
BBC Sunday Breakfast. If you want to join, and if you want to see a picture of Alistair Cutting pontificating, then become a friend of BBC Sunday Breakfast, and I shall have it up there in 5 minutes.
Now, real friends or not, you see? But that doesn't matter, because
radio friends are real friends.
But that's the point, isn't it? You're drawing people in a different way, and it's actually for that. So, you know, the General Synod blog that I do, I've got a General Synod Twitter feed as well. And so whenever I put a blog up, it automatically goes out on the Twitter feed as well. And a lot of people are following that, or following just a link about synods, when synods are happening, and they see the hashtag, as they call it, and it comes in like that.
We'll move on from hashtags, because I think to explain what hashtags are, this is too difficult. But you have made a connection with me in my head. I can suddenly see that the radio intimacies that we enjoy with radio, so that I feel I'm a great friend of several Radio 4 presenters because I've been listening to them for years, and
yes,
I feel like I know them.
Yes.
Of course, I don't know them, and they don't know me, but I feel I do. Not a bad feeling, in fact. It's a sort of belonging. And I hope this programme generates the same kind of sense of intimacy. People feel we know each other, though, sadly, we don't. But in a way, Facebook and these network relationships allow this to develop and become slightly more real, don't they?
I think so, and it's building up of these connections can be so important. My daughters are both off at university now, and actually one of them last year, her connections through Facebook and the like were actually absolutely vital to keep her sane in her first year at university. And sometimes it can be really helpful to build up those sorts of links with people. There are things that go on. You can actually build up an active relationship with some of these folk, particularly on Facebook or something like that, because others then chime in on your conversations and tune into where you are with it.
In a way, given that loneliness is one of the biggest scourges of our society, because we're all too busy, because communities are fractured, this is almost another way of producing a different kind of community. If geographical communities are founded, I hate to say this to a parish priest, because you spend all your life investing in building geographical communities up, but not everyone gets involved in them, then one can mitigate one's loneliness with this other online community.
You can do, and have you heard of the Twitch of England?
No, thank goodness. What is a Twitch of England?
That's the Twitter group of the Church of England.
Oh, horrid.
it could indeed be. But the idea of actually having links of people like that, and at one stage they were talking about having a Twitter communion service.
Oh, Lord. Oh, yes, no, that's... Yes, I remember. Yes, indeed.
But actually, when it came to it, they decided they weren't going to do it, because actually they weren't quite sure that you could truly be in communion when you are just sort of not directly linked like that.
We need the scholastic theologians who, as well as who are trained in answering how many angels dance on the head of the pin, though I'd be told they never ask themselves that question, really. They could tell us whether or not we could be in communion via Twittering. Now, we're going to play some music, and then you're going to come back with a 60-second sermon. How confident are you you're going to come in under the wire?
Maybe just a bit over this time. I've got too much stuff to tell you.
Who is surprised? Not me. Beloved and blessed brings us to our thought for the day, our sermon for the week, our 60-second piece of wisdom with Alistair Cutting, Vicar of Henfield. Wisdom, let us attend.
Mind the gap, says the voice as the doors open the tube train in London Underground. Or, just for a minute, I want to share the benefit of a gap year. Or, acknowledging the cuts as a result of the spending review, perhaps just a gap couple of months. My younger daughter's just returned from a couple of months working in northern rural Ghana. An hour's journey away from the nearest internet connection and blogging. Even 5 miles away from the nearest electrical power socket. All quite demanding on a teenager, lasting 2 months without instant technology. She was primarily, along with another Dutch volunteer, teaching in a little school in a tiny Ghanaian village. But she was also one who was doing so much of the learning herself, learning from another vastly different culture and language and food, learning independence of travel and finances and decision-making. She researched this project herself, and the truth and the health issues, the teaching aids and the little gifts that she wanted to take with her. She planned her own solo tourist trip before returning home with particular care, managing to fit in a safari in the savannah and a camp out in the rainforest jungle, to swim under waterfalls and even touching crocodiles. Quite some trip for just an 18-year-old. She came back a changed person, and yet the same person. She'd grown up, or rather, as the Bible puts it, grown more fully into the full stature of who the Creator had created her to be. Filled in some of the gaps, actually. These gap trips are something of a family tradition in our family. Older sister managed solo trips to Japan and Northern Ireland, as we now call Northern Ireland, before she went off to university. And then Mum, my wife, had a trip helping to run a summer camp in the States a number of years ago. And I had not one, but not two, but three gap years earlier in my career. One working in India, another playing keyboards in a band playing in a school. And as a family together, we had a 3-month gap job exchange to New Zealand 10 years ago that was a formative influence on all four of us. We've all grown individually, together, through these gap experiences here and abroad. Perhaps if your life has taken a bit of a turn with family or economic changes of circumstances recently, well, this may be the ideal time for you to think about doing something a bit different, challenging, stretching, that could help others, but also, particularly, help you to grow into the full stature of who you also could be. Mind the gap? I don't mind if I do. Kyrie eleison, Christe eleison, Christe eleison, Kyrie.
Kyrie sung in Chartres Cathedral, music stretching back to the 6th century, they think, or maybe the 11th, preparing us to hear the news, which is brought to us by Jules Anderson at 8 o'clock.